The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for professional medical advice.
Sweaty and pissed, menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.
Oh, well, hello, my darling.
Hi, I feel like it's been so long since I've seen you. I hardly recognize you.
I know. Do I look greasy?
I feel fabulous.
I feel greasy and crusty.
You aren't.
At the same time.
You're neither.
You angel. Here we are. We're being filmed for the first time, and I feel weird.
Yeah.
And I think about my weight when I'm up against little bitty frail Karen. But anyway, we're here, sweaty and pissed, menopause and more.
We are. And I'm Karen Nickel.
I'm Leanne Morgan.
And we're going to talk about a personal subject today, food poisoning.
Karen and Forrest had a time.
Yes, this is the more part of menopause and more.
Yeah.
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 So, because everybody can get food poisoning, not just menopausal women. So, Forrest and I were traveling back from New Orleans last week and stopped to get gas and grab some lunch.
First of all, can I ask you, did y'all have a good time in New Orleans?
We had a fabulous time.
What was the weather like?
It was good. It was supposed to be rainy and chilly, and it was sunny and 60s during the day. Actually, I think it got up to the 70s a few times.
And what all did y'all do?
Let's see. We went to the art museum. We went to the insectarium.
That has insects.
Insects. And I think it was my husband who said, how many cockroaches do we want to see? And Forrest said, you can never see too many cockroaches.
Oh, because Forrest is so smart.
So,
you ate a lot of good food.
We ate fabulous food. We went to the zoo and we went to...
What is their zoo known for? Do they have something like, you know, like we have black bears and we're known for red pandas?
I don't know if there was a specific thing they were known for. They had a little bit of everything. Oh, yeah, they had a jaguar.
That killed a bunch of the other little...
Yeah, and got out of the pen, whatever they call it, cage. His habitat, I should say.
Enclosure.
Home one night and during the nighttime, so the zoo was closed, and went on a rampage and killed 5 alpaca and a fox and a emu and injured several animals.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
What'd they do with that jaguar?
Well, they still have the jaguar. I mean, jaguar's just doing what jaguars.
But I mean, did they get him?
The problem is, why? You know, they tranquilized him and put him back in his home, his enclosure.
I wonder who's got that job tending to him. That would suck.
I just throw him a piece of meat before I did anything.
Mm. Anyway. I love a zoo. I love to go to different cities and go to zoos.
Yeah, and it was a lovely space, and they were getting it all decorated for Christmas. It was neat. And we saw, what was the third thing? We did insectarium, zoo, and aquarium.
Oh, an aquarium. I love an aquarium.
And that was nice.
What was their aquarium known for? Stuff on the river.
They did have
river
otters. No, that was at the zoo.
Oh,
they had sea
honey,
otters.
I love a river otter.
Yeah.
Is a sea otter different from a little
they're
river?
They're big and they're nice. I mean, I don't mind nice. But I guess river otters are pretty mean. Isn't that right for us?
River otters can be mean because they look yummy.
They're okay. I should aggressive.
And sweet. I always wish I had one. They're hunters. Yeah. What are they?
Sea otters just eat like starfish. They just float on their back and eat.
Oh. Well, the
I
sea
love
otter.
An otter. Any kind of otter.
The sea otters were great. And they have a parakeet room. And these parakeets land all over you.
Yeah. Oh.
That's interesting.
That's fun.
They want to be in your pocket and your purse and your backpack, and you have to get checked to make sure you don't have parakeets stuck in places here and there on your body.
Oh.
So you don't walk out with a parakeet.
Oh, my. All right. Real quick, let me ask you, did you eat oysters and fried oysters and all that fun stuff in New Orleans, or jambalaya, or all that?
A lot of seafood gumbo. A lot of bread pudding. A lot of great seafood. We po' boys.
I love it, and I love a remoulade.
We ate a lot of remoulade. Yeah, we ate at some really lovely restaurants. Yes, indeed. And then we ate at the restaurant on our way home and got food poisoning. So, anyway, it was a great time. We had a really good time. So we thought we'd just talk about food poisoning so that people know the difference between that and the stomach flu,
which is going around in the state of Tennessee
right now. What I know.
What is worse? Nothing. Well, food poisoning.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I have had food poisoning. I ate a hot dog when my kids were at a ball game, football game, when they were in high school. Mm-hmm. And I remember belching as I walked across the parking lot. And I remember thinking, I've never felt that way before. And that was odd. And it was like a sour feeling.
Yeah.
And I felt fine. Mm-hmm. I went home, went to bed, 2:00 in the morning.
Up you went.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. Okay, so.
So, just briefly, the one of the differences between the stomach flu, what people call the stomach flu, which is really a gastroenteritis that's caused usually by a virus, and food poisoning, one is that stomach flu is usually a gradual onset. You know, you feel a little icky and a little nauseous and, you know, just don't feel well. And then you might get vomiting and diarrhea.
But, and both at the same time.
Yeah.
Is a horror.
Yeah. And a fever. Food poisoning, it's quite abrupt. And it can vary, the onset can vary depending on the pathogen, the bug that's causing the problem. So some pathogens have a very short incubation period. So it could be 2 or 3 hours after you eat. Some have a longer incubation period, so it could be a day, 3 days, a week, a month. So it just depends on the... Mm-hmm. So our incubation period was about 48 hours. Yes, indeed.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at y'all. Yeah. It's just how you're saying, yes, indeed. We went to the insectary and then...
Yeah.
And then Katie barred the door.
And we had some pepper jack cheese that was bad.
You think that was
it? I think so. Because it was a soft... Soft cheese can be a problem.
It can.
Yeah, it's a common...
I love it.
Well, you know, probably if you got it where it wasn't sitting out somewhere, but... Anyway, so...
Can I ask you real quick?
Yeah.
A stomach bug,
mm-hmm.
Is that, do you need to touch somebody, touch your eyes? Is that airborne? Is it both? Yeah. What the heck is that?
Yeah, so you're going to get that from other people, like coughing, touching, sharing a cup, a glass, a soda can, utensils. Yeah, so you get it from someone else who has it. Food poisoning is from other people, but it's
somebody that left the cheese out.
Yeah, or somebody that transferred from their hands a bacteria onto the food, like especially E. coli.
Oh no!
Or hepatitis A. Those are what we call fecal oral, where somebody doesn't wash their hands after use of the bathroom.
Oh, Lord.
And then touches your food, and then you eat it, and then
it makes you want to go live in the mountains, off the grid.
Yeah, you just can't drink in the streams because there's probably Giardia in every stream we have here.
Okay, there was something I was going to ask you. Oh, I remember what it was. All right, this has always bothered me. I remember, you know, when Matt Lauer was on Today's Show, and, you know, I don't even know if we're allowed to say his name. But I remember him doing a segment, because he was very germ-free kind of guy.
Oh, really?
They
like a germaphobe?
Uh-huh. And he was all freaked out. And now I am, I feel like. But I'm flying, and I'm going and doing. Well,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Okay, but they did a study, and they swabbed a bunch of places, and they said one of the worst things is going up an escalator. Do not touch that escalator thing.
I never
thing.
Touch that. No.
Yeah. Well, and I try to do.
Yeah, you know, that helps.
But
escalators.
But they said it was E. coli. E. coli was on the escalators.
Yeah. Gyms are bad, too. They've
People don't
swabbed.
Wipe down their treadmill?
Well, I'm sure there's varying capabilities in terms of, some people will do that thoroughly and some not so thoroughly, the wiping down. But, so washing your hands frequently, I mean, not obsessively, but frequently, really helps cut down disease. In our case, that wouldn't have made a difference, but not touching door handles.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't want people to feel like they have to be obsessive about it, but, you know, if you're going to use your hand to open all the doors, then just wash your hands before you start touching your face and your mouth and your mm-hmm. eyes. And
well, when I use a public bathroom, I take my foot
mm-hmm.
and I do
Can
the
we
toilet
see this
with
on
my
video?
Foot. I don't know.
Yeah.
I never use my hand to flush
no,
a toilet.
I
if
don't
there's
either.
A thing there, I never do that.
I don't
and
either.
Then I get a wash the towel and open up a restaurant bathroom door. Oh.
So when you do a meet and greet, is everybody shaking your hand?
Oh, we're kissing in the mouth. They're straddling me. I'm straddling them. They are like you've seen your lost old best friend. And I know a lot of people
do
that
fist bump thing.
Yeah, but everybody hugs, takes pictures, and
oh gosh.
And I just make sure I wash my hands before and after, cuz I don't want to give them anything, but usually I've had a glass of wine, we've had a ball, I do a show, and then it's like it's honest to goodness seeing your best friends.
Yeah.
And they all say hi to you. And everybody loves Sweeney and Pest.
Yay!
I know. So I was just in Dallas, Fort Worth, and Plano, and the week before that, Phoenix. And then they love Sweeney and Pest. And then the week before that was in North Carolina and South Carolina. And I go back to Texas, but anyway, in Atlanta. But I know I'm going to be right in the middle of flu season.
Yep.
And I do take some antibacterial wipes, and I like to wipe down the plane
mm-hmm.
in the sea.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And
the hand, the armrests.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you remember when my mom got sick,
mm-hmm.
and it was in last February mm-hmm. when she had a stroke, and my sister and I were back and forth at Vanderbilt. She was in ICU, and my sister and I both got a stomach bug.
Oh,
you remember,
remember that?
Yeah. And I called you.
Yeah.
And you had
what the.
You
Are
called
you
sure? me in. So tell people what can people do with both food poisoning and
okay. So with
food poisoning, praying, is that it? Praying to the dear Lord that He kills you. Oh,
take me out. So the thing about food poisoning is you have pretty violent vomiting and diarrhea. So and a fever usually. And so between those three things, you become dehydrated very quickly. And it's hard to restore those fluids if you can't hold anything down. So typically when we have something like a food poisoning infection, we don't suppress the diarrhea. We don't want to slow the diarrhea because your body's trying to get rid of this thing.
Uh-huh. And that's what it's doing, right? Because my grandmother saying that, let it get out.
Yeah. But you want to control the vomiting if you can so that you can hydrate. So some anti-nausea meds can be really helpful if your provider can give that to you, if you've seen them for the problem, or if you happen to have some Phenergan or Zofran or Compazine. Those are all prescription.
Is there anything anti-emetics over the counter that your husband could go get you?
Well, you know, ginger is a really good supplement or herb for nausea. I mean, if you're violently vomiting, it's probably not going to help a lot. So getting that vomiting under control so you can drink fluids or suck on ice chips to slow how quickly you drink or bring in fluids, because sometimes if you just chug a lug water, it makes it worse. It makes the vomiting worse. So, because one of the other things that happens with food poisoning, and Forrest can attest to this too, is you're just unbelievably thirsty. And it's not just because you're dehydrated. I mean, it's just one of the symptoms. It's extreme thirst. And so hydrating is really important. And if you cannot hold down fluids, or you do not have a medication to take to help you hold down fluids, you need to seek medical attention, so that, because you may need IV fluids or at least medication to keep you from vomiting so that you can get fluids. And of course, if you can hold anything down, taking something for the fever really helps. If you can take ibuprofen or Tylenol to help with the fever. And
your body's hurting so bad because it's so violent. You feel it in your bones. Yeah. I remember it.
Yeah.
And that's been, I don't even know how long ago, 5 years ago. I will never forget that feeling.
Yeah. So you have bone pain, muscle pain, sweating. It's bad. And, you know, but typically it has a short duration. Usually within 24 hours, if you're able to stay hydrated, you'll feel quite a bit better. So if it's persisting longer than that, again, you need to be seen to have that treated. But yeah, and in terms of the stomach flu, so let me back up. So the food poisoning, most of that is from different bacteria, you know, like Salmonella, Staphylococcus, E. coli, Campylobacter. So mostly bacteria. But we do have, like I said, you can get food illness from Hep A, which is a virus, hepatitis A. And that is a delayed symptomatology. So if you get exposed to Hep A in a restaurant, for instance, and we have that going around in our community.
We do?
Mm-hmm. That it's about a month later. And along with all the GI symptoms, you often will have yellow eyes. You know, you'll look sort of yellow, greeny color. It's jaundice. You have jaundice.
Oh, my Lord. And you're saying that right now?
Well, there are restaurants that have had workers positive for Hep A.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
So what if somebody's eyes go yellow? What are you doing? What do you do?
Well, Hep A, when you have Hep A, hepatitis A, really it is a supportive thing. I mean, you want to just stay hydrated because you really, we don't have anything to treat the virus. You
okay,
just sort
so
of have
just
to
suffer and torment.
Just suffer and live through it. But there is a hepatitis A vaccination. So
should I get that?
You know, and
because I'm on the road?
Yeah. And well, and in our area, the health department's offering it for free because there's this Hep A outbreak.
You know, and I'm also, can I get that the same time as my shingles shot?
You can. You might want to separate those out. Just,
you know, I still got to get my shingles.
Yeah.
Because I came and got my flu shot.
Yeah.
And one of your nurses said, honey, you don't need the flu shot and the shingle shot today together.
You can do those together.
But what doesn't one make you feel?
Well, you know,
can make you feel better.
The Shingrix vaccine, which is the new shingles vaccine, that's a series of two vaccinations. mounts a very robust antibody response, which is what you want. You want to make a lot of antibodies. So most people really have no problems with it. Some people complain of having, you know, just feeling sort of achy and tired for a couple days. The arm's real sore, really sore arm. But the more you move it around, the better.
Okay.
Don't favor it. Move it around. And again, they're 2 months apart, the two vaccines. You can get it as far apart as 6 months. So you want to get the second vaccine anywhere between 2 and 6 months after your first vaccine. But, you know, if you have both the Shingrix and the flu vaccine, you know, you're involving both shoulders. So that can be a little uncomfortable. I guess it depends on your job. I mean, if you're a conductor,
UPS man.
If you're
it might hurt.
You're conductor of a symphony and you have to have your arms above your head a lot, you know, that might not be very comfortable. But, you know, and the flu shot can make people feel a little draggy the next day.
But hepatitis A doesn't?
You know, I haven't had a lot of complaints about the hep A vaccination.
I think I want one.
Yeah, yeah. I think I probably get that with all your traveling.
Let me ask you this, and I know we need to, or unless you've got more to say about this, but is the flu shot working this time?
Well, you know, we're early into the flu season at the time of this taping, but we really don't. No, I have not yet had anyone with the flu who had had the flu shot in my clinic, but that, you know, that's one person. So, reporting. So it's, and actually the, I just got the CDC email that tells you what's going around in our area.
Yeah. Oh, there's an email. I didn't know that. From the CDC. I know.
My buddy CDC. Anyway, and so I think enterovirus and, adenovirus and rhinovirus are the big ones. Rhinovirus is the virus that causes the common cold. So that's the most prevalent right now, adenovirus. And flu, really, flu A and B are down around, you know, 4% and 6% of the infections right now.
So that usually hits you in about what, January, February?
Yeah, that's usually the peak, but it seems like we have flu year round now. But anyway, so I have not seen people who have the flu who have had the flu shot yet, but I haven't seen a lot of people with the flu yet. So.
But you like the flu shot.
Well, I think people should get the flu vaccine, not only for their own protection, but there is a thing called herd immunity, where you're doing that to protect other people. Like, you're going to go take care of your mother, you mm-hmm. want to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking care of a little baby, you want to protect that baby. Because if you get sick and you're taking care of your mother before you know you're sick, you can give it to her, and she's a compromised person in terms of her health. So, so you want to do it not only to protect yourself, but to protect
other
those
people
around you, including your entire community.
Yeah.
So,
because you know, my daughter works for a children's hospital, and they have, you know, they get it because they're around little children. They're sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I like the flu shot. I didn't get it for years. And, you know, you hear things, people, conspiracy theories. Like, but I like the flu shot.
Well, and the single, you know, the pre-filled syringes that are a single dose versus a vial of the flu vaccine. The single pre-filled syringe dose do not have the thimerosal preservative, which is a mercury-based preservative, and that's one of the things that gets everybody all riled up is the preservative in the vaccine. But the pre-filled syringes don't have that in it. So anyway, the food poisoning, mostly bacteria, the stomach flu is typically a virus, like norovirus. Norovirus is sort of famous for being on cruise ships.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Honey.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Been through that.
Yeah. So.
Oh, my middle child, every time we went on and I'm not a cruise person, but we would go with my husband's mm-hmm. company. Mm-hmm. She would get sick, and mm-hmm. then we'd be quarantined to the room. But I didn't care. Oh, I don't want to be out on that all that big mess.
Oh, my God.
You know, I don't want to be around that many people on the, I don't know, and that buffet, and you see people scooping all that. I don't want that. Even though I did have a good time on a cruise in Alaska, because it was like, I get seasick, and it was, I like the cruises where it's like glass, the water, but that in the Caribbean, it's trying to kill me several times.
Well, the cruise to Alaska is usually along the Inner Passage, so you have that chain of islands that you're sort of buffy you from the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there, and nice. It looks like a picture book.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. A little whale out doing.
Little whale.
Jumping and doing.
Little sea otter.
Okay. Well, I hope nobody gets food poisoning.
Yeah. So I do want to say the time to see a doctor is, again, if you can't keep fluids down, if you get bloody stools.
Oh, my Lord.
If you lose consciousness. If you go into shock, you need to be seen. I mean, the shock and losing consciousness, you just need to go to the ER. But if you have bloody stools or you can't keep fluids down, you need to see your primary care provider.
Yeah. Okay, good to know.
So washing hands, cover your mouth when you're not with your hand, but cover your mouth if you're sneezing or coughing. Those are the, be careful where you eat. So, and you can look at those health reports, in the paper, they always review these health reports and
We've got a darling man in Knoxville, Don Dare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don Dare is on it.
Yeah.
Honey.
Yeah. Where to eat.
He knows where it's nasty.
Yes. Exactly.
He does. He's a doll.
Well, I hope all of you avoid food poisoning and the stomach flu. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. So.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
But thank you all for listening.
I know. Thank you all so much. We need to thank.
Yes, we need to thank Forrest, our producer, and our composer of our theme music, which I know is a earworm, sticks right in your head. And we also want to thank Stephen Brown, who did our artwork for Sweaty and Pissed. So we are appreciative of both of them for supporting us in our artistic efforts.
Yeah. Sweaty and pissed. Okay. See, here next time. I say see ya. Maybe. Next time.
Bye. Sweaty.